Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing through our examination of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11 is the great gallery of faith, a listing of people who had lived by faith, not by perfection again, but by faith. And we're up to the part where it said that Abel was righteous, considered to be righteous because of the offering that he brought that was pleasing to God. And so we've done a little cross-referencing on this and jumped over into Genesis chapter 4. So let's resume there. We ended the last episode of verse 8 of chapter 4, and it said this: Cain told Abel his brother. And remember what that was, that Cain told Abel what the Lord had spoke to Cain, what he'd said to Cain. What had he said to Cain? He said, hey, why is your countenance fallen? Why are you so angry? Don't you know if you do well, in other words, if you'll do what is right, your countenance will be lifted up. But if you don't do what's right, sin is literally crashing at the door, and sin's desire is for you, but you must master it. He gets up and goes and tell Abel, his brother, that. Then it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Notice how that Abel, his brother, is driven home repeatedly, that this was not just some stranger or something. This was a family relationship here. But Cain did not master the sin. The sin festered. The sin grew. And he rose up and literally killed his brother. Now, verse 9, we resume. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Now, again, when the Lord is asking these kind of questions of them and of us, it's not for an informational purpose for the Most High God. He knows. As a matter of fact, when the Lord asks you a question like that or something crosses your mind like that, you can pretty well know that the whole point of that is to bring awareness to yourself that, you know, really, why are you doing this? What is going on? So he says, where is Abel, your brother? And Cain said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, the ultimate snarky response and in-your-face response. And does that not reveal the whole nature of the heart and the event and what occurred there? Then in verse 10, God says, what have you done? Well, again, he knew exactly what he had done. He's bringing that question before Cain to where Cain can ask that exactly of himself. What have I done? And then he says this, the voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And remember over in Hebrews 11, we saw how it was Abel's righteous blood was crying from the ground. This is where it's coming from this account right here. And God is saying, his blood is crying out to me from the ground. Now, we might think that's some metaphor, some hyperbole about something, but there's something to this. There's much more to the blood in Scripture than we think we know. There's much more to the ground and the ground crying out, and creation moaning and groaning and waiting the day for the salvation of the sons of God, okay? There's much more to this, which we will examine as we continue to go through the Word. Verse 11, now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Why was he cursed from the ground? Because he spilled his brother's blood on the ground. He killed his brother. Verse 12, when you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. So we see echoes of what happened in Genesis 3 here. Remember when man rebelled against God. Before that, they tended the garden. They went and they ate anything that the fruit that bore seed. Okay, they could eat any of that. And so there was no work, there was no labor involved. They just had to tend. And there's a big difference between tending and laboring for something. But then when man rebelled, God said, hey, now you have to go out, you're going to have to work the land, and the land is not going to give his produce so readily to you. Now he doubles down on that with Cain. He says, when you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. Well, to what degree will that be? Well, he says you will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. So what do vagrants and wanderers do? Well, they wander about seeking sustenance. In other words, none of the ground is going to give enough of its yield to you that you're going to be able to live off of it. You're going to be wandering here and wandering there. And God tells them you'll be a vagrant and a wonder on the earth. Now, watch what Cain does. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you've driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wonder on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. What is that all about? It's I. It's all about me, all about me. You know, I can't do this. I don't even know how many times he said, me, in this, you know. So many people are like that, you know. But anyway, it was all about him. The Lord had said that he would be a wonder. The Lord had said that he'd be a vagrant. The Lord didn't say he was going to hide his face from him. He says, from your face I will be hidden. Perhaps Cain took it that way. Obviously he did. But the Lord didn't say this. And he says, you've said that you've driven me from the face of the ground. He hadn't driven him from the face of the ground. He just told him that the ground would no longer yield its strength, and the cultivating of it wouldn't do that. It would still be there. He would still have some sustenance from it. And then he's wondering about the bottom line. Whoever finds me is going to kill me. Oh, woe is me. Woe is me. God is so evil to me because of this. Not at all acknowledging that, well, you know, I'm really sort of sorry I killed my brother. You know? So watch this, verse 15. So the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. So he told Cain, he says, you know, I will take care of that. You know, nobody's going to kill you for this. I will seek that. If they do, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. In other words, I'm going to protect you, and people will know. Well, how will they know? Well, the next part of the verse, verse 15. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. Well, isn't that an intriguing little thing? The Lord appointed a sign. Huh. Now, let me tell you, from the get-go, nobody knows what this sign is. And if somebody comes along and says, I know what it is, I figured it out, probably not, okay? Because people have been looking at this for millennia, trying to figure out what this sign is. We don't know what it is. The whole point and purpose was that somebody found him, they would know not to slay him. How would they know that? Did the Lord tell everybody in the world? Some of the theories, let's put it that way, for what this sign is it's pretty hilarious. So it's like, did God inform the entire world? And, you know, I don't know, that just upon reading it right now, I'm wondering about this appointed thing. The sign, the word carries exactly the idea you would think of it. It's a distinguishing mark, a remembrance, a barrier, a banner, a miraculous sign, even an omen or a warning. It depends on how it's used, okay? It's a token of something. It's a proof of something. It's used of miracles sometimes. So it's something, but it's appointed. Appointed. That right there opens up some thoughts in the back of my mind that I'm not even sure I can share right here. But it's something that went with Cain. I don't think it was something that was superimposed upon Cain or something like that. But there was something. What does a sign do? A sign tells you about something. A sign tells you where to go. A sign warns you about something. Whatever it was, there was an appointed sign for Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. Now, the last couple of verses here. Verse 16, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. I always find that phrase a little interesting, particularly the next verse here, because he was told that he was going to be a wanderer, he'd be a vagrant, but he goes and settles. Okay, he settles. He tries to settle, and he does. He settles in the land of Nod. You know what Nod means? Take a wild guess. Wandering. He settles in the land of Nod. Then verse 17, Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. So not only was he not a vagrant, not only was he not a wonder, he built a city. And that's interesting. Because the first city that we see, I think this is the first city. Yeah, the first city that we see is out of the rebellion of what God had said you were to do, be a vagrant, be a wonder. Yeah, Cain had relations with his wife. Who was his wife? Boy, don't people ask that question. Maybe we'll talk about that more the next time. It was a family member. Okay, people say, hey, married his sister. No, it could have been a cousin by that time, okay? Anyway, my time's up. We'll talk about that later. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much, and I'll see you then. Goodbye.